Fresno County Assistant District Attorney in charge of special projects, Blake Gunderson, on the phone with us. And Blake, thanks so much for joining us this morning. What's your initial reaction to this?
Well, my initial reaction is that it's horribly ironic that we found out about this action by the governor at the same day that we were commemorating the worst mass murder in Fresno history. Marcus Wesson committed his crimes 15 years ago yesterday.
Well, that is ironic. Marcus Wesson, of course, for those not knowing, sitting on death row.
Well, and which is where he deserves to be after
yes.
his actions in the murder of his nine family members and the rape and molestations of his young children.
Well, how will this impact how you operate? Is there anything about this that makes anything different for you?
Well, on the basic level where we are, I expect that our office will be taking the same action where we will make decisions that on some murder cases, the only just and fair verdict would be death, and will proceed accordingly. Now, obviously, it means on a higher level that we can expect during the time that Governor Newsom in his office, we will not see the death penalty imposed in California.
You know, the governor has released some statements about his comments today, and he says that the death penalty is inconsistent with the values of California. He said it strikes at the heart of what it means to be a Californian. What do you think of that statement?
I think that is sheer and utter nonsense. For the most cruel and heinous crimes, the kinds of crimes that Marcus Wesson and Clarence Ray Allen committed, the ones for where the death penalty is applied, these offenders have earned the worst punishment under our system of law. Any lesser punishment undermines the value society places on protecting lives.
You know, it's funny to me that he would say that when I'm trying to, what are the values of California when the people of California consistently vote in favor of the death penalty? How can he say it's inconsistent with the values of California?
Well, unfortunately, it's clear he's placing his own values on and imposing them on the will of the voters. We've made it clear in this state via Proposition 66 that we wanted the death penalty system improved and sped up, and the times that death penalty opponents have spent a lot of money in putting anti-death penalty ballots or on the ballot in 2006 and in 2016, they failed. The voters in this state have made it quite clear that for some murderers, death penalty is appropriate.
What is your reaction when the governor says that the death penalty has discriminated against defendants who are mentally ill, black and brown, or can't afford expensive legal representation?
Well, in the preliminary statements that we've heard, and I'll be waiting at 10 o'clock to hear him actually make those statements, it seems notable that he has yet to name one murderer on death row who is the victim of the kind of discrimination he claims. If he did, he already has the legal and constitutional means to commute these kind of sentences.
And that's a good point. That is not what he's doing here. He is not commuting any sentences. He is simply placing a moratorium on deaths, on executions in this state. And so when he leaves office, executions can continue once again. But while he is governor, they are not going to take place.
Well, I would go even a step further. From my perspective, after seeing the actions Governor Brown took, I think his actions today will make it a lot easier for his successor as governor to act as Governor Brown did in commuting the sentence of hundreds of murders, many of whom were people who were serving a sentence of life without the possibility of parole, where ostensibly they would never be getting out of prison alive.
Now, when you say commute, what exactly would that mean?
Okay. The governor in our state has the power to commute a sentence, as we saw during the time that the last year of Governor Brown's term in office. We saw him commute the sentence of 283 inmates in California state prisons, where he said, basically, you're not going to receive this punishment anymore, despite the fact that it was lawfully imposed and upheld on appeal. I'm commuting your sentence to something less. For example, as the case you may well know about Susan Lee Russo, the so-called Black Widow murder, he commuted her sentence from life without the possibility of parole to merely a life sentence, where she very promptly went before the parole board, who voted to release her on parole.
So
now,
that,
ironically, the governor promptly reversed that decision, but she'll be coming right back up again in July before the parole board again.
So that kind of thing can happen if he were to name some of these specific cases that he's generalizing about and commute their sentences from death to life, they could then become eligible for parole?
Absolutely. He has the power to do that unilaterally in cases where an individual hasn't suffered prior felony convictions. If they have felony convictions before taking that action, he has to go through both the Board of Parole hearings and the California Supreme Court and having them render their opinions on the action that's being proposed. But he has that ability under the law and under our state constitution.
That's
we
kind
have
of scary.
Yet to see anything in the state constitution that gives him the ability to take the action that apparently he's going to be taking at 10 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, what is the legal basis, do you think, for what he's doing here with this executive order?
The legal basis? We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know of any legal basis to say that, I know that a jury has imposed a verdict and I know the courts have upheld it, but I'm just simply not going to enforce it. That doesn't sound particularly legal to me.
So what will happen then? Will this go to court?
You know, I'm not sure. We're in a very much a gray area here. I expect that there will be action taken, in particular into the inmates who have exhausted their appeals and are eligible to be sent to the death chamber. But what form they will take and who will take it, I just simply do not know. As you can probably imagine, a lot of prosecutors around the state have been blindsided by this, although not hugely surprised when this information started leaking out last night. And I'm sure we're going to be meeting and conferring to determine what we can do.
We're speaking with Fresno County Assistant District Attorney Blake Gunderson. Blake, did the DA's office receive any notification from the governor's office about this today, or did you read about it in the news like we did?
No, I found out about this through the group of which I'm a member, the California District Attorneys Association. We got word from some victims' rights groups that the governor was planning to take this action, and that came out. I think I got an email about it about 5:15 last night.
What if Governor Newsom is right about the direction he's going in terms of public opinion, and he's able to lead some effort to do away with the death penalty in California? And it looks like the polls are kind of going that way. Does that make California less safe? I mean, what if we had a law that said, okay, it's not going to be the death penalty, but you're never getting out? Is that possible? Can we do that?
No, we can't, because it's in the law and it is in the state constitution that even someone who's on serving life without the possibility of parole, going back again to Susan Lee Russo, can have their sentence commuted.
So we can't guarantee. That's what Christina likes about the death penalty.
Yeah.
If you get death, we know we're not going to probably kill you.
I know where you'll be the rest of your life.
Yeah, you're not getting out. So
that's the idea. I mean, there was a district attorney back in Oklahoma when I was reading up on death penalty cases during the time that I was doing these, who had a quote that I thought made a lot of sense to me. In talking about one case, he said, in 1991, a young mother was rendered helpless and made to watch as her baby was executed. The mother was then mutilated and killed. The killer should not lie in some prison with three meals a day, clean sheets, cable TV, family visits, and endless appeals. For justice to prevail, some killers just need to die. And I think that's right.
I do, too. But, you know, he seems to be making the argument that there is wiggle room here, that some, you know, we have had people whose convictions have been overturned, that have been mistakes, DNA evidence has proved some people innocent. That seems to be one of his arguments. You know, these are irreversible mistakes, and therefore
That's what he says.
So when you make a mistake, you know, you can't correct it. Is there any justice in that argument?
Well, the whole point of that argument is that a jury may not have had all the evidence, there may have been other evidence, but that the system worked as we went through the appellate process, as we went through the habeas process, further evidence was developed that led to some of these cases being overturned. And in that event, the system worked.
Not if they were executed first, however.
But we both know that it does not a system where this happens in a matter of months. This takes quite a long time as we go through the appellate process, as we go through the habeas process for anyone to receive the death penalty. We'll go back to Clarence Ray Allen. He committed his crimes decades before he was finally executed in 2006.
Don't we also have a problem with our lethal injection? Isn't that also in court? In fact, the way we execute people?
Well, there's been a great deal of foot dragging by certain leaders in our state in terms of the lethal injection process. We voted for a single injection process in Proposition 66. Despite that fact that the vote has happened several years ago, the certain leaders in our state have been still trying to drag their feet in terms of implementing that process. And it's my understanding, although I don't keep track of that right now, that that's currently before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in terms of an appeal that family members of murder victims have brought to force the state to follow the law.
Because our injection system was flawed, according to the courts.
Well,
is that right?
Yeah, there was a group that argued that it, you know, that it was painful, right? That the three-step injection process was painful.
I mean, how are we supposed to react to the fact that it's too painful to kill somebody?
Well, I think a lot of those claims are being made by the pro-criminal groups that usually come out on these things. And I think they've certainly found a receptive audience with some of our federal judges. But the fact remains that we voted for a single injection process, which has been approved. It can be used, and there are means by which the law can be carried out. And yet in this state, we've not done that because certain officials are willing to drag their feet on this matter.
Hey, Blake, want to thank you for taking time out this morning and talking to us and getting your reaction about this. We're going to carry that message at 10 o'clock if you want to listen.
So. Yeah.
Oh, I'll be listening avidly, trust me.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fresno County Assistant District Attorney Blake Gunderson there, and taking a couple minutes to give his reaction to this executive order. The governor is expected to sign at 10 o'clock this morning, placing a moratorium on executions in the state.